My name is Beth White, and I am currently a certified rehabilitation therapist at the Carroll Center for the Blind, and I am a colleague of Maria Ritter's. She asked me a while back to present Unified English Braille Code changes to you all because I've been in the process of doing a few things to make me a better Braille teacher. To that end, I've been taking a Braille transcription course, you know, with UEB, with National Braille Press for the last couple of months, and altogether 27-week course that I will be done with by the end of May. After I become certified with a transcript, it'll give me the ability to teach the UEB code on a somewhat more expert level, and also to hopefully get some private contract work to become a transcriptionist, even if I do a little bit only at a time. The other thing I've done before that is I took a Hadley course for a few months. It's a 6-lesson course that gave me a very introductory exposure to UEB. And interestingly enough, there have been some changes to the code since then. Not huge ones, but, you know, some decisions that the committee that decides all these changes, they've made some changes to the code and how certain contractions can be used. But I'm just going to give you an overview of what's been done to make the basic things work a little better amongst the countries that are involved and also amongst the equipment that is used to transcribe Braille. I have a funny story that was written for kids about the changes in Braille UEB code, and I wanted to read it to you. I made a really bad cheat sheet for you all, and that's what you have in front of you, okay? The story is called The Braille Apocalypse by Sally Martin, aka the teacher formerly known as .6s.6y. That ought to give you a clue. Just to be clear about the whoever published this, dedicated to Jason Vo and Cameron Knotts. Okay, I don't know who they are. They might be kids. I have no idea. This was forwarded to me by a fellow teacher at the Carroll Center whose teacher sent it to her. Miss Sally and Miss Karen walked out over the grounds of the Braille Apocalypse. They scanned the area and saw 9 green tents. Those must be where the contractions that are no longer usable are going to die, Miss Karen surmised. They scanned the field and saw and, of, the, for, and with looking lost. And tried to hug with, but with was shouting, "We can't do this anymore." Miss Karen and Miss Sally knew that they would need to talk to these strongman contractions. Miss Karen put on her stern teacher face and told them that they could no longer snuggle together. And protested, "I've been cuddly my whole life. It isn't fair." Miss Sally patted And on the dots and said, "We know. This change is hard. It will be difficult at first, but we will all get used to it." And pouted, but stood alone. The, for, and with seemed near to tears, but stood strong and alone. "We'll still be close to other letters when we're used in words," the said. "It isn't the same," And lamented. "It will have to do," said the, with a finality in his tone. "Let's leave them for a bit and look in on the other tents," Miss Sally suggested. "I suppose we should," Miss Karen said as she led the way. BLE was in the first tent. A thermometer hung from his mouth. He saw the TVIs and immediately began his delirious rant. "I'm not that easily confused with the number indicator. I'm not bad for the reader. I'm not. I want to be part of UEB. It can't end like this." Miss Karen and Miss Sally exchanged a knowing glance. "We are so sorry, BLE. You will become a zombie contraction," Miss Sally delivered the grave news. "What does that even mean?" BLE asked in a panicky tone. "It means you will continue to be read in old Braille, but we won't use you when we write new Braille. It isn't really death, but you aren't really alive anymore either," Miss Karen explained in a calm voice. "Will I eat brains?" BLE asked. Miss Karen and Miss Sally laughed and thought to themselves that the change would kind of eat the brains of the transcribers who were new to UEB, like me. However, the readers would be just fine. Miss Sally answered, "No, you won't eat brains. You'll get used to being a zombie, though. Try to think of it as retired instead of dead. You'll have way less work to do." BLE seemed calm as the TVIs left to go to the next tent. The next tent was the first of the Klingons. Little Two, T-O, was in his cot, looking rather pathetic. I know. There's probably no saving me. I was never all that great at saving space anyway," he said with resignation. Miss Karen replied, You were everywhere. Sure, you weren't saving that much space, but you did a lot of good work. We'll still see you in Old Braille, but when we write new, we will have to spell out T-O. The TVIs parted and headed to the next tent. B-Y was waiting in the next tent, and he had a similar reaction as T-O. He seemed to know his days were numbered. The best thing I can do is accept my fate and hope I don't scare any readers when they see me doing a zombified Klingon move in Old Braille text, he sighed, but looked accepting. Miss Karen and Miss Sally gave him a big hug and thanked him for his selfless dedication to readers. Don't worry, we'll explain it to the kids that all you zombies were heroes. You've all sacrificed yourselves in hope to create better Braille for everyone. The next tent was shaking. Into seemed restless and frightened. I don't know what to think. On the one hand, my inn lives on. On the other hand, we all know two doesn't make it. What's to become of me? He shook as he asked. The TVIs knew they had some explaining to do. Miss Sally used her most comforting voice and said, In will live on. However, two is now spelled out. The word into will still have the in contraction, but the two will be spelled out. Also, there will be no more clinging. Into let out a huge sob and whined, Clinging was my favorite part of my job. I'm a cuddly type. This will be awful. Miss Karen attempted to cheer him up and explained, You'll still cling and snuggle in the old text, but you'll have to follow the space rules going forward. Into conceded, I suppose we have to follow the space rules. As much as I like snuggling, I love Braille readers more than anything, so we will just have to put them first. The TVIs were grateful and parted, feeling like the contractions were being really great sports. In the next tent, the TVIs found Com, C-O-M, hiding under his blanket. Com, we need to talk to you. Things are changing, and we know you're scared, but let us explain. You were getting confused with the hyphen, and the new Braille is going to eliminate some of that confusion. Com popped his head out and pleaded, The readers have always figured me out. Miss Sally agreed. They usually did, but there are also issues with back translation. We thought about it long and hard, and this is what is best for our future. We surely do appreciate your service, and we'll be sure to tell kids how well you served us all. Com seemed to accept his fate. D.D. popped his head out of the tent as the TVIs walked up. Don't come in. I already know. I can't carry on because I look too much like punctuation. Obviously, the period beat me out. He's everywhere. Everywhere. D.D. zipped his tent closed, and the TVIs decided to move right along. At ATION's, there was a thudding sound. As the TVIs went in, they realized ATION was trying desperately to raise her .6. Miss Sally intervened and explained that the .6 would be changed and that it was too confusing to have what looked like a capital indicator in the middle of a word. ATION stopped her thumping and looked defeated. Miss Karen offered further words of comfort, explained that back translation was difficult when two symbols meant different things. ATION asked how often that was even an issue. Miss Karen explained that technology was becoming a primary means to produce and read Braille. ATION let the TVIs tuck her into bed. The weary teachers walked over to the O'Clock tent. O'Clock was packing a bag with sunscreen and shorts. The TVIs asked what O'Clock was doing. O'Clock replied, I'm not crying over less work. I'm out of here. I'm heading to Florida. I'm not sad that my work is done. That was the best part. The TVIs chuckled and wished well. Before entering the last tent, Miss Sally looked like she was going to cry. Miss Karen patted her on the back and said, I know this one is going to be hard for you. They walked in and found Allie weeping. Miss Sally held Allie's hand as she found the courage to tell her favorite contraction, the hard news. Allie, you are a part of me. My name just won't be the same without you. I'm so very sad that you won't make it. Allie and Sally shared a hug, and the TVIs left the tent feeling accomplished. They walked toward the main area of the camp and heard quite a ruckus. Miss Karen wondered aloud, what could that be? Miss Sally picked up a monocular and looked out toward the gate of the camp. That's the changes to composition and punctuation and indicators. They look restless. What should we do, Karen? Miss Karen replied swiftly, run! They ran as fast as they could, but knew they would soon need to face the remaining changes. For the time being, they had done enough. The end. Now, I didn't write that, but it does address most of the common changes that you'll see in publications produced after this year. We're still in transition, and UEB is beginning to be used by places that produce things like bank statements, and particularly by places that are known for their Braille production or their Braille output, like Hadley courses that are in Braille, like stuff coming out of Perkins. I've even seen it on the new You at Not Your Average Joe's. It's interesting. But there are a few things I wanted to tell you guys to look for that will be not recognizable if you don't know what you're reading. For instance, one of the most important changes that they've made is to some of the punctuation. So parentheses, as we know as Braille readers, used to be 2, 3, 5, 6 for both open and closed. Okay, that's the drop G. Now it's this, .5, 1, 2, 6 is open, and 3, 4, 5, .2 is closed. The parentheses look completely different, but they actually kind of physically, in almost a visual, visual tactile way combined, they kind of enclose the document. It looks more like a closure, like a wrap kind of idea. So that parentheses is one thing. The period's the same, the comma's the same, the apostrophe's the same, the letter sign for indicating grade one is the same. The other thing you'll notice is that when you have a word with initial capitalization, it's still 1.6. When you have a letter that's completely capitalized, you're going to see 2.6 is like you have before. But when you have a letter or a word or a passage that's fully capitalized, like for instance the title of the story, you're going to have three capital signs before the first word or letter of the passage. And at the end of the passage, it's going to be terminated with .6 and then .3. The reason they're doing all this is they're trying to create the Braille document to look as much like print as possible. So that way there's no confusion with when you're doing back translation from print to Braille. Yeah, the reason they got rid of, like, for instance, A-T-I-O-N was because it does look like a capital N at the end of the word nation, let's say. N.6N is no longer feasible with back translation because there's too much that's been changed on things like the internet and things that make that .6n look like a capital N rather than Asian. So that's one reason they've made those changes. Same thing with com, C-O-M, looked like a hyphen, and you couldn't always use it in particular places, so they took it away entirely. Same thing with the double D, looks like a period. And given the plethora of website information that's been inserted into literature everywhere, that's become too confusing. The one thing UEB eliminates for the most part is the separate computer code that we've all gotten used to. There is a lot more use of contractions that you can use in the website name. Most of the time, you can use a lot of contracted letters to inform you about acronyms and combinations of letters that make up words that you sound out or that you say in forms of letters. So like AFL-CIO, the word NATO, I don't know, I'm thinking of all these silly things we're using in our UEB course. You know, if you're interested, there are a couple of resources I can pass along regarding where to get information on UEB. If you set up an account for yourself, you can check this UEBonline.org.
Do you know if that's accessible to a screen reader? Because I heard about it somewhere else and they didn't.
I will be honest, I've had some trouble with it myself. It can be done, but it is a little tricky. And it comes out of Australia. I don't know, you know, nothing one way later or the other, but it comes out of Australia. A lot of sighted people like it because you can't go to the next lesson before you get the first lesson right. I think it's a little clunky for a screen reader user, but it can be done. The other resource that you can try, again, you can look into the Hadley course. I think up till now it's been free, but I don't think it will be that way forever. They may have already even changed it to cost something. The category of course that they're offering this in is connected with a university in Minneapolis, I believe. Some of their courses online are fee courses. National Braille Press publishes a syndicated columnist weekly still, and they're now doing it in UEB, and it's their own publication, and it's actually a really good resource for practicing reading UEB. Most of what you'll see, you'll recognize. But there are some things like the parentheses that you may go, what is this? The other thing that a lot of transcribers are doing lately is they're making a list of the UEB changes in a transcriber's page or transcriber's note. So if you're not sure what you're reading, you can find some changes there. And again, a lot of, you know, you'll also see a lot of the changes in the computer information that's provided on a page if there's any like website information or anything. I know that APH is working on producing new Braille in the new code, but I don't know how quickly it's surprising how they're not as quick as some other places to have caught up to this.
Yeah, NLS has already started. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you need these back?
No.
Where's the dollar sign? That's the one that confused me when
That's .4S. Okay. And the euro sign is 4E, the cent sign is 4C, the yen is 4Y. So a lot of the currency...
Is there an ending after that, though, that sort of...
No. Okay. It just that's attaches to the number indicator, to the American indicator, and you can... When you're in things like money, and you have, like, sometimes you'll write 50 cents, if they don't use the cent sign in print, what they'll likely do is put a dollar sign, a numeric indicator, and then a point, which is not the 4-6, but the period. And then 50.
So has the 4-6 been eliminated totally?
As a decimal point, yes. No, they're using the 2-5-6 as the period, as the decimal point.
But do you know briefly what note takers and Braille displays that now have the UV transmission taken?
Yes, the HumanWare Braille Apex has it. The Braille Edge has it. I happen to be fortunate to have both of those. Duxbury has it in its table.
I think the U2 has it as well, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was just going to ask you if it's in Duxbury. I've never seen the cents sign in a document. There's no key generated. If you wanted to put cents in the document, how would you?
Well, you'd have to have a special keyboard. I think there's a way to set to on your keyboard if you're using the computer to enter text. There's a way to write certain signs that are not on the keyboard to change the keyboard to include them. But I don't know how to do that, honestly.
There's a 6-dot input.
Right.
JKL.
Right.
And then
SDF.
Yeah.
That's correct. So you can do 6 keyboard entry if you have to on the computer keyboard if you have the right software like PerkyDuck, which is the downloadable free version, which I don't like very much, but it still works, and Duxbury.
So my question, the one I have not been able to figure out, is what the new sign for the asterisk is.
That is .5 and then .35.
Get that, Jeanette, .5 and then .35.
So it's no longer 1-6.
And are you saying that when you're going to write the cent sign, that you would, if you're writing $59.50, you'd put the dollar sign, 5-9, and then 2-5-6, and then 50 cents?
If you're actually copying the print and there's a dollar sign and a cent sign, I believe... That now again, this is about transcription, so I may answer this question wrong because I'm fairly new to this part of it. The dollar sign would come first, which is .4S, then the numeric indicator, which is 3-4-5-6, and then the E and the I for 59, and then the period 2-5-6 for the decimal point, and then EJ for 50, followed by .4C. If the print says that, if it doesn't. If you're just doing 50 cents, you can do the numeric indicator, the decimal point, 50 with EJ, and then .4C.
And if you were writing $2.50 the regular way, how would you do that?
If you don't have the cent sign in the equation or in the monetary currency word, you would do .4S, numeric indicator, 3-4-5-6, B for 2, and then period for point, and then EJ for 50.
Right, and I would think it would be very unusual for somebody to put the dollar sign and the cent sign
in. It's redundant to do both.
I don't think I've ever seen anything in print that had both.
Yeah. No, so if you just have a cent sign, for instance, in front of your point 50, if you had 50 cents, you would put the cent sign in front of the numeric indicator with .4C, and then write the rest as I described. With the period and then the number.
One of the best resources I've seen is one from the Perkins Library. That's actually how I started learning the UEB. They have a booklet and a little cheat sheet that gives a lot of this information with great examples.
That's what I was hoping I could at least show you a little bit of, and I do apologize for you guys here that it's not as thorough. At least it gives you the parts you can look for that are not there anymore. Or the parts that are changed.
My understanding when BANA decided to adopt this is that the United States would be keeping the Nemeth code.
They will be. They will be. It's the Nemeth code is largely used here only in this country for math and science. And typically, it's used, you know, in any environment that that's needed for. So, you know, kids in school doing, you know, trig or calculus or, you know, any kind of scientific code, post-grad work that someone might be doing for, you know, master's or PhD. NEMETH code will still be used, but it's a completely separate code from UEB. So it's not part of UEB as a whole, as was computer braille, which is why it's been eliminated.
When I was at the Carroll Center, one of my chores was to label that candy vending machine, changing the products every week.
Uh-huh.
It was basically, I had to do it to learn braille.
Right.
But some of the products were under a dollar, some of the products were over a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I was always taught to put dollar sign number 0 decimal place 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was under a dollar, I always had to put the 0 in because the next line down might have $1 and 50
right,
cents.
Right,
right. So am I supposed to still do that sort of thing?
A lot of it depends on what the print is originally. I think that the point of UEB in large part is to eliminate the confusion that Braille caused when the transcription wasn't exactly the same. So now they're making everything more precisely as it appears in print, it will appear that way in Braille. There's a lot more flexibility with UEB, so you don't have to do things only one way if you're not transcribing. What I would imagine, and again, this is a judgment call, but if you were doing it now, I would say what I would do, even to save space, would be numeric indicator, point, and then 75. And that would indicate 75 cents, because you have a point there first.
Beth, this was great. Thank you very much.
You're